Father, thank you for the truth contained in these songs that we've sung this morning. Thank you that we've been reminded of your great love for us and what a privilege it is to know you, to be known by you, to be loved by you. And Father, what a privilege it is to live our lives for you. I ask you, Father, that you would remind us this morning of the incredible grace that has been shown to us. And I pray as we look into this particular message of the importance of us showing your love to others, I pray that the catalyst for our doing that would not be out of obligation or a sense of duty, but I pray that the motivation for that would be a reminder of the incredible, undeserved grace that you have shown to us. Open our eyes in some way and help us to see all the people around us who long to be touched with that same grace. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm happy to see that some of you braved the elements and made it here today. John was talking about Greater Greenville County issuing warnings to some people not to get out. They told me not to get out, but I came anyway because that's just the kind of rebel I am. I'm glad to see all of you here. I kept looking out my window this weekend expecting to see animals going by two by two. Never seen anything quite like this. I love the rain. This is overdoing it a little bit, but I do love the rain. Glad that you're here. If you have your Bibles, let me ask you to turn to Luke chapter 10. As we continue on in our series we've called What If, we are trying to pull back some of the surface layers of Christianity that we tend to live behind, and we want to ask some of the questions that perhaps we might tend not to ask as we go through life, questions that might sting a little bit and convict a little bit. I believe it's only by that process that we will get to those deeper issues of our Christian life. In Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25, we have an encounter that Jesus had with some very religious people who hated him and were constantly looking for ways to trip him up, to trick him, to make a fool out of him. And this is one such occasion. Luke 10:25 says, on one occasion, an expert in the law, that is the religious law, stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Verse 29, but he wanted to justify himself, and so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Simply put, if we could boil these two greatest commands down into their simplest form that we've been called to do, it would be to love God and to love others. But we have to understand something very important, and this is especially important for us as Christians who attend church services, who sing songs about our love for God. Showing our love for God is only half of what we've been commanded to do. It's not enough for us just to love God. The second part of that commandment is just as strong. We've been commanded to show God's love to others. In John 15, Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And we all want to rest there in that beautiful thought. Isn't that great that God showed his love through Jesus and Jesus showed that love to us? But then Jesus went right on and he said, now this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see the progression there. God loved Jesus. Jesus loved us. And that's where most of us live. Very thankful for that. But Jesus said, and now I'm commanding you to take the love I've shown to you, and I want you to now show it to others. We could say it this way. God sent Jesus to show his love to us, and now Jesus has sent us to show his love to others. We've been called to live out the love of Jesus so that others can be the recipients of his love just like we have. But the first thing we need to recognize, and I think this is an area where it takes all of us a long time in the Christian life to really understand this truth. None of us are capable of loving like Jesus. In ourselves, we simply do not possess that kind of love. We're all selfish sinners who want to be loved and served by others. And it's only when Christ changes us on the inside that we'll ever learn to truly love and ever be able to truly love like he loves. It's only when Christ changes our heart that we then have the capacity to even have the love we need to truly love others with God's love. Romans 5:5 tells us that it's God's love that has been poured out into our heart. And then 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. It's very clear in Scripture that if we are going to love others with the right kind of love, it's only because he first loved us. It's only because he put his love in our heart, and it's that love, it's his love, that we can then pass on to others. The Bible says God poured out his love to us so that his love can now flow through us. It's a very easy way to remember what we're talking about this morning. God has poured out his love to us so that his love can now flow through us. We are called, we are instructed, we are commanded to live out this life of love, not only to each other, but to the lost world around us. But it's important to know that this love that we've been called to show to others must begin first in our smallest circle of life, and then it grows into ever-expanding circles. If we are not living out the love of Christ in our own home, we will never be able to show the love of Christ to lost people. Husbands, if you are not loving your wife the way Jesus loves your wife, you have no business sharing his love with anyone else. Wives, if you are not loving your husband the way Jesus loves your husband, you have no business trying to talk to other people about his love. It must begin at home with us. That is the first place that this love must be lived out. And then as we learn to have loving Christ-like homes, the next circle is here in our church family. Do we think for a moment that we can love our community if we are not a loving church family? Any church, and this is not us, by the way, and I thank the Lord for this, but any church that squabbles and fights and bickers with one another inside their own walls and then tries to go out and reach other people with the love of Jesus, they're wasting their time. So this love must begin in our own hearts. God puts it in our heart, and then it's to our family, and then it's to our church family, and then it expands to the larger circle outside of here, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to lost people, and yes, sorry to tell you this, but even to our enemies. But we must not forget the commandment we've been given to love lost people. And can I just again be oversimplistic in my next statement? We have to understand that in order to love lost people, we have to, you know, love them. It's not about shoving a tract in someone's face coldly. There's nothing wrong with tracts. I know people who've been saved by finding a tract out in a public place somewhere. It's not about loving people with this hateful distance between us and them. Oh, they're a nasty, sinful person. Here, I'm going to tell you about Jesus, and then I'm going to run so I don't get germs on me. No, no, no. If we're going to love lost people, we have to love them. But the problem is, instead of getting out and actually loving other people like Jesus did, we spend the majority of our time trying to decide who we're supposed to love or who we have to love and who we're excused from loving, just like the man did in our opening verses. Jesus said to him, "Love God and love others. Love your neighbor as yourself." And he immediately said, "Well, let's clarify. Who's my neighbor?" You see what he's doing there? He's not asking so that he can actually find out who to love. He's asking so he can find out who he doesn't have to love. Don't miss that. Jesus says, "Love your neighbor." Okay, who exactly are we talking about? And he gives this immediate excuse, trying to quantify the love that he's been commanded to show. And you know, unless you've been living under a rock, I think you would have noticed and agree that sadly, we Christians, for the most part, have earned a reputation of looking down on everyone who's not like us. We churches, we Christians spend so much of our time, so much of our conversations talking about the lost people, the very people that we've been called to reach. Have we forgotten the example that Jesus set for us? John 3:17, we all know John 3:16, right? John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I got what might be news to some Christians. It is not our job to condemn lost people. We've not been called to sit around passing judgment on those who are different from us, who don't know Christ. We've been called to love those people in Jesus' name with the truth. Yes, I'm not talking about hiding the truth under a rug and just saying to everybody, "Well, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all fine, whatever you believe is fine." No, Jesus never did that. But he loved lost people. He was accused of being a friend of who? Sinners. Can I just ask you a question this morning? Is there anybody who knows you and knows that you're a Christian who would accuse you of being a friend of sinners? Even hearing those words, I bet there are some of you who are just recoiling in disbelief, saying, "I would never want that title. I want to keep my distance from those people. I don't want to be associated with them at all." And I think the problem is we've confused the two instructions in the Bible, one which says we are to be separate from the world, and yet we misunderstand that that's not saying to stay away from the people we're called to reach. It's saying we must separate ourselves from the ways of the world, from the morals or lack of morals of the world. That's what we're to stay away from. But we're called to go into the world, to take the light to the darkness, to show the love of Jesus to the lost people. When Jesus saw the crowds, the unsaved crowds, the Bible says he didn't stand up on the top of the hill and shout down across the valley, "You wicked sinners!" No, that's what he said to the church people. It says when he saw the lost crowds, what was his response? How different is it from ours? It says he was moved with compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He was deeply moved with love and compassion for the worst of the worst. Loving the lost was his mission from the start. He said, "I have come to seek and to save the lost." He didn't come down here to hang out with church people. And yet it seems like that's our mission. It seems like that's what we spend all our time doing, is hanging out with other Christians. I read a statistic years ago that threw me off when I read it. I was so confused by this. It said, on average, when a person becomes a Christian, within 2 years, on average, all their friends are Christians. And I thought, well, that can't be right. Nobody wins that many people to Christ in 2 years. I was misunderstanding the point. What they were saying was, what a gut-wrenching reality this is, that when on average, when a person becomes a Christian, that within 2 years, they've abandoned all their unsaved friends and replaced them with Christian friends. Have we lost our minds? We're missing the mission completely. I've told you before, listen, lost people aren't our enemy. They're our mission. Satan is our enemy. Can we please keep that straight? If there's anyone we should hate with the right kind of anger, if there's anyone we should detest and war against, it's Satan and sin, not lost people. Jesus made his mission clear from the beginning. In Luke chapter 4, it says after Jesus had come through the 40 days of testing in the wilderness and gone through that horrible time, he emerged from that. And what was the first thing he did to set the tone for his ministry? He comes out and he says this in Luke 4:18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? To preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's why he was here. Jesus went about from town to town, from village to village, city to city, reaching out his arms to embrace the sick, caring for the downtrodden, feeding the hungry, loving those who were unlovely, standing up for the weak and the abused and the marginalized, proclaiming the gospel to them to free them from their brokenness and their sin. Jesus spent his entire ministry pouring out God's love to others. And before we say, well, how nice, we must quickly add that now he has commanded us to do exactly the same thing. But sadly, I'll say it again, we Christians spend far too much time sitting around in our little Christian groups, pointing fingers of criticism at those outside. We spend more time doing that than we actually do going out to reach those people. How is it that we, who have been saved by grace, can possibly assume for a moment that their sin is worse than our sin? What gives us the right to sit around pointing fingers of criticism at the sinners in the world as if we somehow deserve God's grace, but they don't? Do we understand that their sin is no different from our sin? You say, wow, what about the child molester? No different than your sin. What about the rapist? Well, that's a horrible thing. No different than your sin. What about the murderer? No different from your sin. Oh, what about the adulterer? No different from your sin. Pastor Timothy Keller said this: when we Christians see prostitutes, alcoholics, prisoners, drug addicts, unwed mothers, the homeless, the refugees, we are looking into a mirror. We must never get past this point. We must never reach the place in life where we actually think that somehow our sin was less offensive to God than their sin. I want to tell you an important truth right now. I hope if you're taking notes, you'll write this down. I hope you'll remember this for the rest of your life. When we see people as worse than us, we have not yet understood the gospel. When we see other people as being worse than us, we don't yet understand the gospel. Someone once said, you only love Jesus as much as the person you love the least. You let that one rattle around in your cranium all week. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn those people. I came to love those people so that they would be saved, and I want you to love them for my sake. Do you hear that? I want you to love them for my sake. Imagine for a moment that Jesus came to us this morning, and he took all of us and he transported us instantly to different places around our city. And he took us up one by one to different people. And without those people ever knowing that we were there, just imagine with me for a moment that we went with Jesus. And he walked up to this first person. And he walked up behind him and he put his hands on the man's shoulders. And he said, hey, everybody, I want you to meet Bob. Bob's a drug addict. Bob's parents didn't love him. Bob's made a mess of his life. Most people think Bob's a jerk. And if you take your eyes off him, he'll rob you blind. But I've spent a lot of time with Bob. I've invested a lot of effort into him, and I care about him deeply. And I want you to love Bob for my sake, because he's someone I love. And then he took us to another person. And Jesus lovingly put his hands on this person's shoulder and stood by him, and he said, I want you to meet Seth. Seth has tattoos and piercings from his head to his feet. You wouldn't believe the things he's gotten into. Seth doesn't love me. Seth doesn't want anything to do with me. But whether he knows it or not, I've spent a lot of time working on Seth, trying to show my love to him. I've invested a great deal in him. And I want you to love Seth for my sake, because he's someone I love. And then he takes us to another part of town and walks up to a little girl. He gets down on one knee and he puts his arm around her shoulders and he says, everybody, I'd like you to meet Olivia. Her father was killed in a gang shooting when she was just a baby. Her mother brings different men home every night. She's only 6 years old, but already her entire life has been surrounded by violence and drugs and death. She doesn't see very many options for her future. But I love Olivia. She's very precious to me. And I want you to love Olivia for my sake, because she's someone I love. And then he takes us up to a teenage boy and he says, I want you to meet Blake. Blake's 15 years old. He tries to keep up happy appearances. He smiles when he's at church. He smiles when he's at school. But he's battling terrible depression. And no one has really taken the time to look deep enough to see the pain that he's living with every day. Blake thinks all the time about ending his life because he doesn't believe his life is worth anything. But I've invested a lot of time in Blake. He means a great deal to me. I love Blake, and I want you to love him for my sake. And on and on and on we could go with example after example. But I want to ask you this: when we look at people, what do we see? When we look at people, do we see them like Jesus sees them? Not judging them for the way they look or the way they talk. Not judging them for the decisions they've made in their life. Not judging them for the mess that they've made in their life. But seeing them as precious souls who Jesus loves and who he died for. What if we started loving people like Jesus? What if, church? What if we loved people like Jesus? How would our church be revolutionized? How would our city be transformed? if we loved people like Jesus. Because in reality, I'll tell you, Jesus does have his hands on the shoulders of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And he's telling us, I've spent a lot of time with this one. They mean a great deal to me. And I want you to love them for my sake, because this is one I love. You and I, if you're saved, we've already been recipients of God's love, even when we didn't deserve it. Romans tells us, while we were still messing around in our sin, Christ loved us and died for us. While we were still sinners, we did nothing to deserve it. And now he's asking us to go out and love others in the same way he has loved us. Look back at Luke where you are. Luke chapter 10. Immediately after that, man asked Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? So that he could find out who he didn't have to love. Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. Did you ever realize that that's when the parable of the Good Samaritan was told? Right after this man said, who am I supposed to love? Can you give me a list? Jesus said this in verse 30. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now here we go. A priest, here's a first religious guy. A priest happened to be going down that same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Underline that in your Bible. Verse 32, so too a Levite. Oh, here we go, second religious guy. When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Underline that. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him. Underline that. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, look after him, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. And then Jesus says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus replied, then go and do likewise. Don't miss this. This is so relevant to us as the church today. Don't miss this. Both religious people passed by on the other side. Both the church people passed by on the other side. The very ones who were supposed to be the carriers of God's love were the very ones who were so consumed with their own happiness and agenda. They were the ones who passed by on the other side. But folks, don't ever forget, the gospel does no good when it passes by on the other side. It does no good. We've been called to take the love of Jesus to the very people who need it most, not to keep it for ourselves. As someone once said, we were not meant to be cul-de-sacs of God's grace. We were meant to be conduits of God's grace, channels of God's grace. How dare we meet here week after week talking about our love for God and fail to take that love out to where people need it the most, and to love like Jesus. What would it look like if our church loved like Jesus? What might God do if we got out of our seats and got into the streets? When I was preparing this series and this message, I went back to some old notes of mine that were dated last spring, 2014, when God actually put this series on my heart. And I keep hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scraps of notes on my computer. God will just bring something to mind. I'll go and I'll just start writing furiously. And sometimes it's one sentence. Sometimes it's 8 pages. And sometimes it just stays there for years. And it was just something I put down. And I'm just sort of waiting for God to plow that ground again and say, now's the time I want you to talk about this. So this What If series was birthed in my heart last spring. And I just haven't felt the right time to bring it until now. In fact, 2 months ago, I think it was, at our leaders meeting, we had a prayer time together that just shook my heart so deeply. And at the end of that prayer time, at the end of our meeting, I said, well, guys, I know what our next series is going to be now. God spoke to me in that prayer time. And they said, what? And I said, well, I'll just tell you two words, what if? And so I went back to last spring's notes and I started looking, and when I got to this message for today, I went back and I read some of the things I had scribbled down. I want to just read this to you. I want you to hear this. This is what God just broke my heart for. Here's what I wrote. What if we decided to break out of the comfort and contentment of these walls, to mobilize our mission and invade this community with the love of Jesus? What if instead of sitting here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and I actually wrote all that down because that's how strongly I was feeling this. What if instead of sitting here every Sunday singing songs about Jesus and hearing another sermon about Jesus, what if we decided to get crazy and take one Sunday a quarter? Or if we decided to get really crazy and take one Sunday a month, and instead of sitting here talking about the mission, we closed our doors and went out and lived the mission out there on a Sunday morning? You mean not have a service? I went on. There are so many people in our city to whom we could be the hands and feet and heart of Jesus, but they will never feel His love if we never go to them and love them where they are. That's been burning in my heart for over a year. And I'm just now getting the green light from God to express that to you today. What if LifePoint Church decided to love others like Jesus? So last week, as I was going back reading through all these old notes, I get an email from John. And all he said was, you might want to watch this video. I think it was a day or so before I got around to it, but I clicked on the link and I watched this 4-minute video. And it just knocked me out of my seat. And I want to show that video to you this morning, and I want to warn you ahead of time. Some of you, I don't mean anybody in particular because I don't know, but you know your heart. Some of you may watch this video and feel very uncomfortable. Because if you have in your mind this perfect hardwood pew, stained glass window vision of what a church has to look like on Sunday morning when they do church, this video could be a little offensive to you. You might look at this and go, that's not a Sunday morning service. You can't do church that way. I want you to watch this. And I want you to see a church who had the guts to say, what if? What if we just did church like Jesus did? Watch this.
What would it look like for the church to wake up to its true identity as a community meant to be in the streets, in the gutters with people? What would it look like for disciples of Jesus Christ to go into the darkest places where no one else is willing to go, to rescue people and bring them to the hope that's in Jesus Christ? We came here to the King's Motor Inn to explore the idea of what would it look like to even be on mission here with our neighbors who are struggling. The I-5 corridor is a superhighway of drug trafficking and sex trafficking. And that's why we are trying to set up camp right here in the middle of it, because we believe that Jesus' kingdom needs to shine most brightly here in this dark place. It's incredible what happens every weekend as we come here. We'll rent a room. We often cook out. We've had face painting. There's a bunch of kids who actually stay here with their families. And every single weekend, we see Jesus doing amazing things in the hearts and minds of the people we're meeting.
There are dozens of women that we have met that are caught up in the sex industry. So when I'm able to give these women who at times like want nothing to do with church or religion or a handout and are scared, when I'm able to just be to give them a 2-second testimony that I too had come from a life of addiction and chains and bondage in the sex industry, and that God has redeemed me and that I'm totally a new person, that clicks something in them. It gives them hope, that there's hope for them, and darkness has to go.
Jesus was called a friend of sinners. He was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. That means that he hung out with the town drunk. He hung out with the women who had reputations. And what did he do? He brought them hope. He brought them healing. And that's our goal as we follow Jesus here in Fife, Washington. We want to see Jesus bring hope to people in the middle of the most desperate situations.
People here have responded so well. They're just so encouraged and often just kind of taken back because they've never seen a church do this. It's just so cool to see people that are actually, they're coming alive.
The things that have been happening in my life are just, it's God sent. I know it. So I truly believe in God today, and I know that God is my savior.
I said, man, about 3 months ago, man, I was holding a pipe, you know, and weapons in my hands, getting high in the street, and now I'm standing here singing to God, holding the Bible. And I feel so good, bro. I can't believe this. Jesus said he loves me. He saved my life, man. This is the best dope you can get. It's free. It's dope, church. It's God's family. You know, we're all the family of Christ. That only God can change your life like this. The streets aren't gonna do it. God will. You know, be a part of this. Come join us. Because we're doing amazing things out here. It starts with one person and it continues.
Yeah, slightly over our comfort zone. Dope church. I was so moved by seeing that. Church, what if we had the guts to commit ourselves to learning what it means? We have to first learn, because we have to unlearn all the church stuff we've been taught our whole life. We first have to unlearn that. And what if we committed ourselves to at least let this be the start of the conversation? And we committed ourselves to learning what it looks like to love like Jesus. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem, knowing the wickedness of their hearts, knowing they were going to crucify him. He wept over them because he loved them. And he says, love as I have loved. That's how I want you to love others. What if we prayed, God, by your Holy Spirit, would you break our heart for the lost? Would you reform us? Would you reshape us by the power of your Spirit and enable us to know what it looks like to get out of our seats and onto the streets, to love people like Jesus loved them? I pray that we would begin asking the Holy Spirit to produce that kind of love through us. I pray that each day we would surrender each moment of our lives and ourselves to him, to be a channel of blessing with the love that we've been given. What if we loved like Jesus? Let's pray. I want to give us time to just get before God and deal with some things. First of all, if you have never been saved, that is the place you must begin today. You cannot love others with something you don't have. Listen, even the most loving, I say this in the kindest way, it's not me talking, it's the scripture. I'm just telling you what it says. Even the most loving, unsaved person is loving with a broken love. The most loving lost person is loving with a love that is tainted with selfishness. It is only when Christ transforms our heart and puts His love into our heart, pours His love into our heart, as Romans 5:5 says, that we are then even able to have the love we need to love our husband, to love our wife, to love our parents, to love our children, to love our neighbors, to love our co-workers, to love our enemies. If you've never been saved, I plead with you this morning, don't leave this place without settling life's most important issue, the salvation of your soul. The Bible says God sent His Son into the world to die in your place, and by His death, He paid for your sin. But you must receive, you must believe, you must make the choice to die to yourself, to give your life to Him, and allow Him to live His life through you. If that's you this morning, if you've never settled the matter, I don't care how many church services you've attended, that means nothing. Have you ever settled the matter of your eternal destiny? If you haven't, you can do that right where you are, right in this moment. If you would like someone to talk with you, I'll be happy to talk with you. But you don't need me to bring you to Christ. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you have been saved, I hope you will begin to see this morning the grace and the mercy that it took to save you from your sin and make you right with God. I pray that all of us this morning will have a fresh understanding of the truth that the so-called worst sinner in the world is no different from us. And I pray that we as the church collectively across the world will stop spending our time pointing fingers at people who are different from us and judging them and condemning them. I pray that instead we'll redeem that time by going to them, not passing by on the other side, not keeping our distance from them, but going to them and taking that healing oil of the gospel and pouring it onto their broken lives and seeing them transformed gloriously just as we were. I pray that today would be the first step in our lives towards a commitment that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are going to love like Jesus. I pray it will begin in our home. I pray it will spread to our church. And I pray it will become such an unstoppable force that it will spill out from here, that it will run out into the streets like this rain that we've been seeing, that the living water will flow out from us, rivers of it will flow out from us and touch the lives of people across this city. I want nothing less. I could care less about cranking out another service to keep us all happy. I could care less about it. What are we doing as the church? Are we spending all of our time saying, God, we love you, we love you, and failing to hear the second part of the commandment? Great, then go and love others as I have loved you. Maybe there's something in your life that's holding you back from having that kind of love for others. I just pray you'd settle it with God right now. Lord, I believe everybody in this place who knows you truly does want their life to impact the lives of others. I believe that. I pray all of us who know you would begin to seek your face and say, God, would you break down whatever barriers I have put up between myself and other people who are different from me? And God, would you enable me? Would you empower me? Would you show me the way to get out of my seat here and get out into the lives of people that you care about, that you love, that you are trying to reach? And help me to realize that some of those people may never feel the love of Jesus unless they feel it through me. We've been blessed by receiving your love. I pray that we would not store it up for ourselves. I pray you would open our spiritual eyes. Help us to see people around us like Jesus sees them. And I pray that we would be quick and eager and excited to take your love to them and to love people like Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.